Be strong and of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Deuteronomy 31:6. Greetings and blessings in the name of our God, saints. Glory be to him, now and forever. Our trials are coming on virtually a daily basis. Your trials are not isolated incidents, and I am praying for you all. I do exhort all of us to rise up above our personal hardships and remember to pray for those among us under the same stresses and tests. They all point to the same thing, no matter what they may be. They point to God's glory. They point to your being his child. You're in the fire. You're being tried. You're being tested. Pray. Pass these tests and keep your eyes on the one who walks through the fire with you. Let's look beyond ourselves at Jesus. Let's look beyond ourselves just like Jesus did on the cross, and bless and forgive and care for and edify one another. Shall we not confess our sins to one another? We are a lump, an unleavened lump, 1 Corinthians 5:6-9. We are unspoiled, not polluted by the motivations and desires of this world. To the world, we're flat and lifeless. To our God, we are holy and eternally alive in him. The leaven of falsehood and compromise will surely spoil the sincerity and the truth which makes us Christ-like. 1 Corinthians 5:8. Remember 2 Corinthians 11:3, but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. That corruption speaks volumes of distraction. Do not overlook the importance of this simplicity that we speak of often. This should be a part of our spiritual makeup. This should reflect the peace in us through our deeds, our thoughts. This harmonizes with the single eye passage in Scripture, Luke 11:34. This supports the warning against being double-minded, James 1:8. The reed blown to and fro, Ephesians 4:14. We're no longer children, saints. We are not watching this battle from a safe distance, from a church classroom, or on TV. We are in this fight of faith, on the road, in the middle of the furnace. Is it then our own strength which will see us through? We know the answer to that. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning, fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O King. Daniel 3:17. This testing of our faith includes the Lord of our salvation. We do not walk alone through the fire. We would become spiritual cinders without our God. He answered and said, Lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Daniel 3:25. This is what our foul enemy sees, though he throw everything, including the kitchen sink, at us. We are with our God, and he is with us. Praise our living, loving God. This is what the realms see, our Emmanuel, our God with us. Do we need to hold to the chaff of this world for safety or our victory? By no means. We are alone, and yet in good company at the same time. Hallelujah. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Romans 8:35. These are worldly things. These are earthly things. These are earthly trials and tribulations that come against us, spoken here of by Paul. Count it all joy, James 1:2, that we walk the fire of trials for the sake of Jesus Christ. Count it all joy that our choice to follow the God of creation is being honored in such a way. the reality of the Bible's words, that of the living word, is indeed suffering and persecution. That's reality. This is not our home. We suffer in our bodies, in our minds, by the day-to-day curves thrown at us by this life. Shall we succumb to the stresses and capitulate? Hand our souls over to our enemy because it's not convenient that we suffer these tests? My dear God, no. We are saints of the Most High God. We do not take our faith off like a cloak when it's not convenient and hang it up in a dark closet. The posers do this. Shall we grieve our God by treating his gift like everything else that has temporary purpose? Or do we hold fast constantly to this faith, in thanksgiving and in fear of displeasing our God? We are spiritual beings in this body of clay with eternity in our grasp. The pains of this life will cease. Though we may end up living out of a dumpster, you know, diseased and rejected, are the conveniences considered our right worth the inconvenience of hell because we threw away God's gift, put it aside too often, or gave up the fight and walked away, shipwrecked our faith? James 1:2 tells us to rejoice when the temptation comes. It doesn't tell us that we succumb to them. Some short fight then, isn't it? It's no victory. The words of James tells us to consider that we are being honored by God to be like Jesus when tempted. Well, start acting like Jesus. This is a solid sign that we're God's children. As soldiers, must we fight this fight, not as spectators. We are active participants in our own crucifixion. Forget self. Real Christianity is a total emptying of self and a total infilling of the Holy Spirit, a total infilling of the image and life of Jesus Christ. Without bearing the image of Christ in ourselves, without bearing the spiritual marks of our own crucifixions, Jesus will not recognize us as his own in the last day. We will assume he knows us, but he will bid us depart. Is this what we would risk for our own safety or to placate our vain desires? Is this what we would risk by sitting on the sidelines instead of getting into the game? This is a game with only one of two outcomes, life or death. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, Ephesians 3:20, it's not out of context. And just what power worketh in us is my point from this scripture. A professed power or a present and abiding power? These days are days of testing and faith, no matter what century we live in, no matter what times we live in. Following Christ is a constant test for you, has been since Jesus came, since the gospel went out. These days are no different. These are not the days of peace, tranquility, and earthly bounty, as the smiling wolves and the itching ear crowd of the churches would have us believe. This is war. It is not political, material, or physical. It is purely spiritual. And all else falls into place. Reread Ephesians chapter 6. Our spiritual houses must be in order, and we must be prepared to have our souls required of us at any time in this life, and more so now. Meekness, humility, sobriety, fear of God. His grace is sufficient only if we accept it as such. If we are not willing to grasp this succor, this aid, Hebrews 2:18, in thanks and contentment, no matter the circumstances, we stand no chance of weathering the storm. God is calling us to prepare our souls and bodies for what is at the door. How else do we harden ourselves for what is coming, unless through hard work and refining? Think it not strange, saints. Soldiers, endure hardness. You gotta be hard to endure hardness. Man is like to vanity, his days are as a shadow that passeth away. Psalm 144, 4. I suggest we fight as if our souls are the most important things to us and the souls of those we are called to care for. We should have peace and joy within us as the storms rage. We have tribulation around us on the outside, as Jesus told us in John 16:33. And what did Jesus overcome that we should be overcomers with him? Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. 1 Corinthians 12:27. Grace is in abundance. The same grace which caused our salvation and gave the gift of faith will finish it. If, Hebrews 3:6, we hold to that faith, trust God, and calm down and get quiet with our Father. Calm down? Indeed. Humble yourselves and don the cloak of meekness. Approach God with thanksgiving and with a contrite heart, centered down on the God with whom we are co-workers. 1 Corinthians 3:9. Have some fear. Have some fear of God. Now, we may be miles apart, but we're still the body of Christ. In some instances, we're continents apart, but we stand shoulder to shoulder in the spiritual body. We all suffer because of our faith. We all suffer in one form or another because of our renunciation of the world. Shall the elect quit? Shall there be no grace through this trial? No grace under pressure? Have we revisited our priority list lately? Who saves us? Is God slack in his promises? Look in the mirror and do not forget what you look like. Do the word, don't just hear it. James 1:23. Confess your faults to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. James 5:16. Bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Galatians 6:12. The Spirit of God is the one warning and speaking and entreating here, not me. Listen to him, saints, and harden yourselves through your trials. Harden yourselves to the world and your failing flesh and the wiles of the devil. Simple. That is the way it should be. Simple. The simplicity of Christ. All eyes forward upon your God and nowhere else. Simple. Caring for the saints and edifying the body of Christ. Simple. Yes, we may be separated by miles, but we're joined by the Spirit of God to each other. Let's not fail to fulfill our commission to be in prayer for each other in these days. The way is narrow, the gate straight. Both words, narrow and straight, imply close quarters. Can one hide from others when in close quarters? Is not one revealed for who they are under these circumstances, eventually? Can we bear our souls to God and yet hide them from one another? How do we love one another? Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Ephesians 6:18. Yeah, there he goes again. Tough. You're listening. And I'm speaking. I pray we do not end up all professed into inaction, distraction, and complacency. I pray we embrace the whole gospel. I pray we repent of our stiff necks and fall upon the stone. Matthew 21:45. That stone which will grind us to powder if it falls on us. Take the trials with joy and perseverance. Share the burdens with one another. All semblance of the world we once knew is gone with the wind. A new order has risen. Are you ready to walk the rest of the road to life? Are you ready to withstand the real persecution? I pray we do not end up like these. In John 6:66, great numbers, huh? From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. After the flesh turns to dust, the spirit yet lives on. Where will it reside, saints and others? That is still up to you in the here and now. Fear not and get right with your God. And may God bless and keep you in these terrible days. May he send his ministering angels and keep us in the power of his Spirit to his glory and to the utter salvation of your souls. Amen.